From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 12th day of April, 2021. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel at Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Mark Russo will join us to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast. He's with Everstream Analytics out of Chicago. And we'll talk about the commodity markets and the fundamentals of trade with Frayn Olson from North Dakota State University, where he serves as an extension agricultural economist. And it all happens on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
May corn today settled at $5.69. That was down 8 1/4. July at $5.56, 6 3/4 lower. December corn down 1 3/4 at $4.96.5. By the way, its high was at $5.01 3/4. Soybean futures finished at $13.82, 21 lower. July down 19 1/4, $13.79. And new crop November off 13 cents at $12.50 1/4. Bean meal futures up 70 cents at $4.01.90. The bean oil at $51.45, down $1.40. July wheat soft red down 9 1/4 at $6.31 1/4, and hard red July finished at $5.86 3/4, down 7.5 cents. Live cattle futures nearby contract down 70 in the April. The June at 122.10, 47.5 lower, and May feeder cattle at $149.70 per 100 pounds. Up 7.5 cents. Lean hogs may contract at $104.40, down $1.97.5. Crude oil futures at $59.73 a barrel, about 41 cents lower on the day. The U.S. dollar at 92.135 is down 0.025. And the Dow Jones Industrial Average around 33,571 is 111 points. Here to talk about all the marketplace with us today on a Monday is Kurt Kimmel. He's at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. A rainy weekend, but a great Monday. At least sunny skies, and I know farmers are chomping at the bit. However, the marketplace turned lower today again. Why was that the case?
Boy, yeah, I think it was just a bunch of little things. Yeah, the sun comes out and the market goes down. It's amazing. Getting through the weekend anywhere from half inch to 1.5 inches on west, some heavier amounts, as everyone knows. So slow down here for a minute. This afternoon's weekly crop conditions report is expected to show corn plantings about 5-6% complete as a nation. Bean progress is probably going to be right up there with corn. A lot of beans went in the ground there last week. And I imagine as we move through the week here, we'll see some additional progress. If the temperatures would stay warm and the sun would stay out, I think a lot more producers be willing to go here towards the end of the week. So the idea is we're going to get the crop in the ground here, at least in a timely fashion, I think kind of kept a lid on things. But fundamentally, there's several things to look at fundamentally. One is that the world vegetable oil market was lower overnight. Palm oil was down, and that spilled over into our bean oil market. And I think that kind of tripped some technical sell programs. Bean oil was down almost 200 points there in the May. And that kind of spilled over into the soybean complex. Fundamentally, we just don't see the big sales. We're seeing some light rolling of old crop sales into the new crop here, and kind of waiting for the next big sale announcement, other than small lots buying. China did buy 132,000 tons of U.S. beans, but that was new crop purchases. And Bangladesh, 110,000 tons, and that was divided up between old crop and new crop, 55,000 ton 20 crop and 55,000 ton 21 crop. Fundamentally also, China was talking about the prices were too high, but yet they bought a few beans, and so hopefully they'll buy some beans here on this correction. Technically, hopefully we won't see this thing. This is one day down. Hopefully we won't get two more days down. I'm counting on Wayne to promote turnaround Tuesday here tomorrow. Hopefully trade a little lower and turn back up, because I don't see a whole lot of reason to really crucify the market here to the downside without a whole lot of crop in the ground and the weather uncertainty in front of us. Commodity funds, they were long about 432,000 contracts of corn, 140,000 contracts of beans. So they've got some room to kind of lighten up tomorrow. Hopefully open interest will go down a little bit, showing we're just seeing a little bit of long liquidation take place. And also technically, one thing here is commodity fund rolling. We lost the bull spread, not only from old crop, new crop spread, but within the contracts here as we're seeing the funds roll out of the long May and on into the back months there. Guys like myself, we wait till the very last day to do that, but the commodity funds do that by the middle of the month. So all that combined just gave us a down market here starting out the week, Todd.
Yeah, particularly, as you mentioned, and in the soybeans, even the new crop soybeans were weak today. However, new crop corn December futures, in the face of an 8-cent loss in the May and 6 cents in the July, still only managed to lose a penny and three quarters. That seemed to be a pretty decent sign.
Yeah, unwinding of the bull spread helped provide support there. Then plus two, quite a bit of uncertainty, here as we move forward. If we don't have the acres and we don't have trend line yields, if you take, a little bit more small carryout into the 21, that tightens that supply-demand balance sheet up quite a bit there. But, spread activity is kind of the thing that kind of supported it for the most part. Dease corn saw quite a bit of hedge pressure when we traded above $5. $5 on the board there, that's, highest price we've seen here in the last 6 to 7 years. And so you can kind of ratchet that up, $5.25, $5.50, $5.75, $6. It seems like every 25 cents there's some layers, some hedging that's going to come in to take advantage of the up here.
Well, taking a look at last week's USDA report on Friday morning, exports were up 75 million for corn, feed usage and ethanol usage both up as well. That should be a decent sign.
Yeah, we've talked about true feed usage, and we've looked at least on our part. I don't know about all the other analysts. The ethanol usage and sales were much better than what they've been letting on, and. As long as these livestock prices remain relatively high, the cattle market, we're looking at 122 cash trade, 123. When you look at the pork side of it, man, we've gone through the roof in here. Even though we registered some pretty nasty reversals to the downside, livestock profitability is there. So look for that domestic usage to remain high.
What are your expectations for the rest of the week?
Well, I would hopefully we find a little bit of a low in here and continue this sideways pattern that we've been through here over the last several months. We'll look forward to day-to-day sales, see if this break in here generates any new business. It seems like the buyers come in about every 30 to 45 days and gather some coverage, and they back away from the market. The key probably is continue to watch the cash market. When you visit producers, they're doing that. When you look at like Decatur bids and so forth, as long as those stay a premium to the marketplace, it suggests that the market should find support on breaks in here. They have to bid up to shake what remaining inventory is loose for near-term demand.
Hey, thank you so much. I appreciate it a lot.
Very good. Take care.
You too. That's Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. If you'd like, you can always hear him again whenever you want on our website, willag.org, willag.org. And Kurt, of course, appears on our Commodity Week program from time to time as well. Our thanks go to him for volunteering his time here at Illinois Public Media. Hey, just one more thing. As we get into the growing season, it's probably pretty important to keep up on what's happening with the trade each and every day. And you don't always have time when you're at the planter cab because you're busy doing something else to listen to the Closing Market Report. Well, you can do that anytime, frankly, you like. All you have to do really is to make sure that you hook your phone up to the radio there in the tractor cab. Just use the Bluetooth, get those two paired together, and you can listen to us anytime. Now, it's easy. You can go to our website and just click and play from willag.org, the Closing Market Report or Commodity Week. Or if you prefer, you can download an app like SoundCloud or Stitcher, NPR One, Google Play, Apple Podcast, any podcast application, in fact, you'd like to use. And you can search for the Closing Market Report. You can find the programs and listen to them on demand anytime you'd like in your tractor cab when you have the time to do it. Also, be safe out there. And if you're traveling the by roads of Illinois and Indiana, Iowa, Minnesota, Nebraska, Kansas, the Dakotas, all across the United States, in fact, be careful. Those tractors are out there and they're running now. They move slow and they'll have some tenders with them as well. Pay attention to them. I know they're paying attention to you. On this Monday, we're joined by Frayne Olson. He's here once a month from North Dakota State University, where he's an extension agricultural economist, to help us explore what's happening in the commodity markets. Thank you, Frayne, for being with us today. I'd like to go back to Friday morning of last week when USDA released the monthly World Agricultural Supply and Demand Estimates report. It was interesting that they managed to take about 150 million bushels off the ending stocks for corn. And that going forward puts the numbers by the time we get to September down to 1.352 billion bushels. That's a relatively small ending stocks for corn. What do you make of that number and what does it do going forward?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely put that support into the marketplace, you know, and a lot of times we look at the USDA numbers as kind of that psychological influence. We study the numbers very carefully and we all debate them and argue whether they're right or not. And everybody has an opinion about that. But it is that base number we start with. And psychologically, that did, you know, tighten things up. We're putting some additional support into the corn market. What I usually say is if you look at the stocks to use ratio, kind of look back historically, 10% stocks to use tends to be kind of a tipping point in the markets. If we have more than 10% carryover stocks, it seems like the market's pretty comfortable. We tend to have average prices are a little lower, a lot less volatility in the marketplace. We're comfortable. Okay. You get under 10%, which is where we are right now, and suddenly the market gets a little bit nervous. And obviously the tighter that gets, the more pressure it puts on the 2021 crop and what does the demand base look like? And I guess the interesting thing for me on the corn side was that USDA did increase the ethanol number a little bit. And again, psychologically, I think that's important because I do think there's people in the energy sector that are now looking at the economy starting to recover, everybody starting to go back to work. Even though we still may be working from home, at least the miles driven are going to increase, in particular this summer when we get into vacation mode. So the demand base for ethanol, I think, is recovering. Some of the ethanol plants that were at least at hot idle are now being brought back onto line, which is, again, supportive of the corn market and on top of course, the strong export pace.
Have you, and clearly you have, rolled all of this forward into what would be the new crop or the 2021? And does it give us, when you use the USDA's acreage figures, and that's what they'll use in May, kind of the same ending stocks this year and last?
It's very similar. It's similar. I haven't done, I did that a while ago. I haven't updated my numbers, you know, given the prospective plantings report, because I do think by the time we get actual plantings, we're going to see a little higher numbers. But again, the bottom line ending stocks are going to be tight. They're going to be at these levels, if not a little tighter, depending upon what kind of a yield we get this summer. So yeah, it would take an unusual event for us to really rebuild our ending stocks. I really don't see that happening. I think we're going to be in this tighter ending stocks mode for a couple of years, and we'll just kind of have to wait to see what weather gives us this summer.
Can I go back through some of that WASDE? Because it increased feed and residual 50 million bushel. It increased ethanol, as you mentioned. That was up 25 million bushel. Exports for corn were also up 75. Those all three were, The exports just was a fairly large number, though I think some of the trade think there could be more. The feed and residual I found interesting because I wasn't sure, given the number of hogs and pigs that were out, that that was necessary. What did you think?
Yeah, that one was a little bit surprising to me because those you know, feed and residual. So let's break this apart, right? It's both feed and residual. Okay, and so we all automatically just dump everything into the feed pile, but there is a residual number in there, which is, think about that as primarily spoilage and wastage. And again, typically that's a relatively small number, but when we have a very large crop, or like we had in 2019 when we had some quality issues, that spoilage and wastage number can go up a little bit as well. So I was a little surprised that it went up. We are looking at record meat production. And when I do the math on it, I get a better correlation between meat production than necessarily animals fed, just because slaughter weights do have an impact. But our hog exports, I mean, pork exports have been very strong. I think that demand base is there, again, primarily from China. That's always, you know, that's always our go-to answer. It's what's happening in China. But I was a little surprised by that because these numbers are relatively strong given the numbers. I also think a little bit of the adjustment has been some of that feedback loop in the DDGs, because as the ethanol sector has cut back a little bit, the DDG numbers haven't been quite as strong. And so if you don't have the DDG base, you have to come back with some additional feeding of whole corn. So there might be some internal numbers shifting going on because of the lower ethanol numbers.
$5 corn will be on the December futures the norm, you think, going forward? We're not quite there yet, but we're darn close.
You know, I do think that is very likely. The big wild card for me, and it's probably, yeah, the big wild card for me is still that Chinese demand base. And one of the issues, I guess, in the back of my mind, two things that are happening that I want to caution people not to get overly bullish. Although I'm optimistic, I don't want to get overly bullish. Number one, African swine fever issues in China are still there. They are doing a better job of managing and controlling the disease, testing for it, trying to put the phytosanitary protocols in place to minimize that, but it's still there. And obviously, anytime we have a major outbreak, there are some new variants that are starting to show up that can raise a concern. The other issue is I know that the Chinese are starting to try and rebuild some of their inventories. And when I say the Chinese, I mean not only the Chinese government, but also some of the private firms, the private feed companies. Just because of the extremely tight stocks that they have right now, some of those private companies are building their own inventories to try and manage that price risk a little bit better and actually the flow of grain. We're starting to see a little bit also in the auctioning of alternative feeds like wheat and some of the low grade rice. Some of those auction values are starting to drop now a little bit. So I think the peak, if you will, of the price problems and issues for the feed demand base in China are starting to wane. Now, longer term, I do think there's still going to be very strong feed demand out of the Chinese market. So I'm not terribly worried that the bottom's going to fall out. But again, the question is, what will those numbers look like as we move forward? And so to see a slight retracement in exports from these levels, I wouldn't be surprised, at least in the Chinese market.
Hey, thank you.
All right.
That's Frayne Olson. He is with NDSU Extension. Mark Russo now joins us from Everstream Analytics to talk about the weather forecast. Hi, Mark. Thanks for being with us on a Monday.
Hi, Todd. Thanks for having me.
It is a beautiful day, and it looks like there are several to come. I drove around just a bit today, and I would say soil conditions in our part of the world are looking really nice after the rainfall over the weekend. And I think it appears that a large part of Illinois got maybe an inch or thereabouts. Is that what you saw over the weekend? And how widespread was that rain across the Midwest?
Yeah, well, first off, the rains were pretty widespread across much of the Midwest, but totals were varied. You did have, and especially here across Illinois, you did have areas such as in area parts of northern and northeastern Illinois, getting only about a quarter to a half an inch. And then it increased as you headed west and south from there. Now, the heaviest totals were closer to the Mississippi River. In fact, much of northwest Illinois picked up above 2 inches of rain. So that was the highest corridor of rains, but still overall pretty concentrated just to that area.
And your expectations as we move forward? Sunny skies today. Will it stay that way?
For the most part, there's a little bit of rain around, but it's all on the light and scattered side of things here, especially across Illinois. As you move south of here into the Delta region, that's where activity will be a little bit heavier. And then way up north in the areas of Minnesota and towards the Canadian prairies, that's also where there will also be higher totals across that region. But for kind of the core of Illinois, as well as Indiana and Iowa, this week is pretty dry. And even next week, rain activity looks pretty light. So overall, quite favorable for planting progress here coming up.
Yeah, can you kind of give me your assessment of the start of the growing season, what conditions are like from the northwest part of the Corn Belt to the southeast? And by the southeast, I mean all the way into Georgia and areas as such.
Yeah, overall, it's looking like a generally normal start to the summer crop planting season. You know, there have been at times, well, up across the northwestern areas, some dryness, which is still ongoing, especially in areas of the Red River Valley, and that extends into sections of the Northern Plains and on into the Canadian prairies as we begin to approach the new spring wheat and canola planting seasons up there. So that area will need some additional rainfall here coming up, but not of any, you know, initial concern. And then in areas of the Delta, Southeast, and even for lesser extent areas of the Ohio River Valley, there's been at times some wetter conditions, and that has resulted in, especially in the Delta, some minor delays. But even there, things have picked up. And bottom line, it's overall no, you know, major issues for planting. Not totally wide open, but it's been a generally timely and normal start for the U.S. as a whole.
Anything in other growing regions across the planet that we need to be aware of today?
Yeah, for the Brazil winter corn crop, still the southern part of their corn crop, which has just, you know, more recently been planted in recent weeks, they're still struggling with dryness. And over the next couple of weeks, it does look like that region will remain in a drier than normal pattern. So that is the area to watch. And it's really just focused on the southern part of the Brazil winter corn crop. Their northern northern winter corn crop is in better shape. They've been getting rains. More rain is on the way this week and into next week. So the concerns right now are just focused south.
Hey, thank you.
You're welcome, Todd.
That's Mark Russo. He is with Risk Pulse in Chicago, Illinois. He joined us on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media.